Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Petzer, your host on The Raw Deal. We seem to have had a technical glitch, no matter, no consequence, no significance. Several significant, very important developments. Truth Justice, represented by David Martin, is reporting Gates vaccine deaths. Worldwide, Bill Gates is being accused of pandemic fraud and vaccine murder. India has two vaccine murder cases against him. In the Italian parliament, he's accused of depopulation and cause a criminal. In the U.S., he's accused of mass negligent homicide. Here's more. Bill Gates crimes. U.S. patent shows CDC ownership of coronavirus. Both China and the U.S. involved in the creation of the Wuhan SARS-CoV-2. Gates and the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, controlled WHO, appoints criminal Tedros, CDC, FDA, CNA, CIA, NIH, Gates, Fauci, Barrick, Rockefeller, all involved in federal crimes. Bill Gates and the Rockefeller Foundation paid Google, Facebook, Politico, Wikipedia, fact-checkers in order to censor and control all the information. The CIA has been using Operation Mockingbird for years and has over 3,000 agents implanted in the mainstream media to control the population. Event 201 was sponsored by Bill Gates, the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, which is CIA, and the World Economic Forum to enforce a worldwide pandemic response 5 months before the World Health Organization fraudulently declared a global pandemic. It was a planned, coordinated criminal effort worldwide. In January of 2017, Anthony Fauci said there would be a surprise virus outbreak before the end of 2020. I remember it well. Bill Gates in 2015 talked of a future pandemic and lied in April of 2020 when he said they did not simulate or practice for a pandemic. Klaus Schwab, in his book COVID-19, The Great Reset, shows COVID was a Trojan horse to reset the world, according to the UN 2030 agenda. Build Back Better is a slogan, is a criminal coordinated effort to remove human rights and institute a one world government. Bill Gates and the Rockefeller Foundation bribes the WHO, NIH, NIAID, CDC, FDA, medical school, and journals to control health industry and public health policy. WHO chief Tedros, involved in genocidal killing and torture in Ethiopia. He's a known member of the Communist Party, Bill Beijing and Bill Gates' puppet. And a health minister, he was accused of covering up three cholera epidemics and committing crimes against humanity. The CCP and Bill Gates helped put Tedros in charge of the WHO. John D. Rockefeller, over 100 years ago, seized the U.S. media, took control over public health using toxic petroleum-based drugs for profit. He controlled the American Medical Association, blacklisting and expelling any doctors who practiced natural medicine. Rockefeller's poison injections and medicines started causing cancer in early years. To cover it up, they formed the American Cancer Society. Medical error is the third leading cause of death in America. Bill Gates used India and Africa as guinea pigs for pharmaceutical companies to make a financial killing while killing a lot of people in the process, including innocent children and babies with vaccines. Bill Gates controls Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, to vaccinate the world with his poisons. National Security Study Memorandum, NSSM 200, implicates worldwide population growth for U.S. security and overseas interest. Way back dated December 10, 1974, a Kissinger report showing the intention of the government to reduce the population worldwide. Bill Gates is one of the key funders in the Stratosphere experiment to block out the sun for climate change by releasing poisons in the air. Environmental scientists call it a global genocidal experiment. Gates has invested over a billion in the Earth Now global surveillance project to launch hundreds of satellites to monitor people everywhere 24/7. In partnership with MIT, Gates has developed a new technology that allows vaccines to be injected under your skin along with your medical records. Gates funded genetically modified mosquitoes released in the U.S. to allow human immunization by means of mosquito bites, flying syringes. Bill Gates had business dealings and a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, the convicted child sex criminal. Why would he choose to partner with the world's most notorious pedophile? To blackmail? Bill Gates is a top financial donor of the WHO and the CDC. No one person has more power than Gates to influence and control the health and medical freedom of all people. Bill Gates and all mRNA vaccine must be stopped. This is a global genocide experiment and takeover of the world's population. No doubt about it. Meanwhile, we have a report that the Philippines is issuing an arrest warrant for premeditated murder against Bill Gates. A Philippine court has issued an international arrest warrant for Bill Gates as part of an investigation into the COVID vax rollout in the territory. Excess deaths have spiked in the aftermath of the vaccination drive in the Philippines. Hundreds of thousands of citizens dying unnecessarily, many more injured and maimed. The judge said Gates, as a founder of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, is wanted in connection with hundreds of thousands of deaths, a number which cannot be estimated at present and is certain to increase exponentially in time. The Philippines had already banned Gates from entering the country in 2016 and has this Interpol to relay the arrest warrant as a red notice to other police forces around the world, a request that has so far gone unmet. The Heinous Crimes Court of Manila issued the order for the arrest of Gates under Article 248 of the revised Penal Code, which carries a minimal prison term of 20 years and a day. The news was immediately met with a super injunction issued by the Gates Foundation, preventing media and relevant jurisdictions reporting on the arrest warrant or the existence of the super injunction until the case is resolved. The Philippines has a history of court action against international agencies pushing vaccines in the territory. In 1995, for example, the Philippines accused the UN agency UNICEF of waging a secret sterilization campaign in the territory. The state won a court order halting a UNICEF tetanus program that was using tetanus vaccines secretly laced with an abortion drug. NIHCG-laced vaccines have also been found in at least four other countries. The Gates Foundation spokesperson declined to comment on the arrest warrant on Thursday, telling local radio, "This is a misunderstanding that we're going to have ironed out." I say fat chance. This is a major development, very significant. I'm very pleased to hear it. I think it augurs well for the future, and that we should all be very proud of the Philippines. A dear friend called and suggested to me that Thailand may not be far behind, where we had a princess who was going to become the ruler of Thailand, induced into a coma and shock by virtue of taking the mRNA shot. So all of that seemed to me to be extremely promising, a very positive development. I've tweeted it on my Twitter account, at Jim Fetzer, and I thank Sam Mitchell for bringing it to my attention. Meanwhile, Russia is shocked at impunity over the Nord Stream sabotage, Lavrov says at G20. This is very significant because what it means is Russia no longer has any faith whatsoever in the West. That the West has turned out to be liars, phonies, frauds, cheaters, untrustworthy, undependable, unreliable, unworthy of confidence. I believe what we're seeing here is presaging a worldwide transformation where Russia, which can no longer count on the West for anything, not even to uphold the most solemn agreements, is turning to China. I mean, look at it this way. Russia has the greatest reserve of natural resources in the world today. There really is no room for argument about it. Russia is now the largest country spanning 9 time zones, but it has vast reserves of virtually every natural resource you could possibly want. We know now that while Russia has done its best ever since World War II to develop cordial relations with the West, it has been unsuccessful. It has been played again and again. The West has lied, cheated, stolen. Think about the resolutions from way back when, the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991, when James Baker, Secretary of State, was making solemn declarations that the West would not expand one inch to the east. At the time, there were 13 NATO nations. Today, there are 30. Russia has been very consistent in emphasizing its legitimate national security needs. that it was intolerable for Ukraine to become a part of NATO. They have made it very clear that's unacceptable. So why the hell should the West continue to promote the very idea? Absurd. Meanwhile, Lavrov, who's among the most experienced political figures in the world today, arrived in New Delhi earlier this week to take part in the G20 Foreign Ministers Summit and hold bilateral and multilateral meetings. Russia is shocked at impunity, disregard, carelessness, cavalier attitude, shrugging shoulders over the Nord Stream sabotage in the area of NATO and EU's responsibility, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said Thursday, addressing the G20 ministerial meeting in New Delhi. We are witnessing the degradation of international economic relations provoked by the West, their transformation into a weapon, including in the energy sector. We insist on a fair and swift investigation into the terror attack with involvement of Russia and others concerned, he said. And of course, we know well, there have already been several independent investigations where the parties have been unwilling to release their findings because they implicate the United States. The foreign minister stressed that Russia advocates for energy security and highlights the importance of granting all countries in need access to affordable energy resources. Bear in mind, attacking the Nord Stream pipeline was not only an act of war, it was a war crime, because this was an attack on infrastructure affecting the well-being of the civilian population. That means the United States is blatantly exposed as a terrorist state perpetrating war crimes in relation to perfectly legal, legitimate, appropriate, proper commercial transaction between Russia and Germany, where Russia was providing cheap gas to Germany, an industrial powerhouse, which was thereby going to benefit. It was going to lead to an era of peace among nations, creating a new economic community in Europe, where the United States would worry it would be on the outside looking in. Destruction of the pipeline not only sabotaged that development, but by incredibly, stupidly, and implausibly claiming Russia was responsible, revealed we'll say anything, we'll undertake any lie, any action, any violation of international law, perform any war crime we like to advance the interests of the United States. This is horrific. This is as bad as it gets. Previously, Russian ambassador to the UN, Vasily Nebenzia, said Russia's Western partners on the UN Security Council were not showing any desire to cooperate in an independent investigation to verify the report, presenting significant details, this, of course, would be by Seymour Hersh, that the United States was behind the sabotage of the Nord Stream pipelines. Now, in my judgment, well, Seymour Hersh did a great job on this. He gave a partial, only a limited hangout. You want to understand the full context, look at the article by Mike Whitney. But Seymour Hersh left out on UNZ.com, UNZ.com. Hugely important. This is the article that explains what the hell has been going on and why the whole Ukraine war has been taking place. Serious stuff. Again, I have it linked on my Twitter account, @JimFetzer. The investigative report published by Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Seymour Hersh, which revealed that U.S. Navy divers had planted explosive to destroy the Nord Stream pipelines during NATO Baltops exercise in the summer of 2022, Norway activated the bombs 3 months later at the order of U.S. President Joe Biden, journalists wrote, citing insiders. Now, how disgraceful is that of Norway? Of Norway. I can't tell you how much of my life I've admired the Scandinavian nations, Norway, Finland, Sweden, for standing aside, for remaining neutral. This is an act of colossal stupidity. Colossal stupidity. Continuing. In September 2022, underwater blasts occurred at 3 of the 4 strings of the Nord Stream 1 and 2 underwater pipelines, built to carry a combined 110 billion cubic meters of Russian gas to Europe annually. Germany, Denmark, and Sweden launched separate investigations into the incident, while Russia was not given access to their probes. Wow. During his speech, Russia's top diplomat took a moment to apologize to the Indian presidency and colleagues from the countries of the global south for the indecent behavior of a number of Western delegations who turned the work of the G20 agenda into a farce in an attempt to shift responsibility for failures in economic policy onto others, primarily Russia. The minister continued by saying that the West has shamelessly buried the Green Deal, initiated by UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, as he highlighted the obvious obstacles to the export of Russian agricultural products around the world, no matter how the EU tries to convince everyone otherwise. Today, the lion's share of grain supplies from Ukraine goes at dumping prices for fodder to the European Union, not to the poorest nations. Consignments of free cargo of Russian fertilizers, in particular for Africa, are still blocked at European ports. The minister also called for putting an end to illegitimate sanctions. Any form of violation of the freedom of international trade, market manipulation, arbitrary introduction of price ceilings, other attempts to appropriate foreign natural resources. Nonetheless, Lavrov expressed hope that the G20 summit, held in the Indian capital in September of 2023, will partially alleviate the risk posed to economic stability by the West's salvage policies. We will continue to make a significant contribution to ensuring economic stability. We are open to an equal dialogue in the G20. We hope that the Delhi summit in September this year will at least partially mitigate the risk posed by the salvage policy of the West, Lavrov observed. On July 22nd, the deal broken by Turkey and the UN was signed by Russia and Ukraine in order to unblock shipments of grain, food, and fertilizer in the Black Sea, despite hostilities. The agreement was initially set to expire on November 19th. With a possibility of extension if signatories consent, it was extended for 120 days on November 17th. Russian President Vladimir Putin repeatedly said, most vessels carrying Ukrainian grain do not reach the world's poorest countries and have ended up in Europe instead. Putin has also voiced concern that Russian grain and fertilizer products are not entering the global markets as stipulated by the agreement. Now, let me add, what I believe is taking place is the shift of Russia from having any faith in the West, which is no longer sustainable. I mean, look, Angela Merkel, that former chancellor of Germany, even acknowledged that the West had no intention of adhering to the Minsk agreements that were going to establish a degree of autonomy for the Donbass regions, for the Luhansk and Donetsk oblasts, and so forth, and guarantee that NATO did not absorb Ukraine, acknowledging that it was all in bad faith. It was all done just to arm up Ukraine in the meanwhile for the Russian intervention, which they knew was now inevitable because of actions by the West. No longer having any confidence in the West, but looking for an economic partner who can benefit from the natural resources Russia can supply, they have turned to the East. You are now seeing taking place a geopolitical realignment that is going to have staggering consequences for the future, because Russia, with its vast natural resources, will now be sharing them with China, the industrial giant, and the West is going to suffer as a consequence. I guarantee 100% because of the action taken here in relation to Ukraine, the sanctions, and the whole bit, which were colossally stupid and ill-considered from the beginning and violated Russia's legitimate national security concerns, as though Russia doesn't even matter.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. Give SendGo.com funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Mike Adams is now interviewed. Scott Ritter, former U.N. weapons inspector, and like myself, a former U.S. Marine Corps officer. Ritter's take on current events is that the Ukraine leadership is hopelessly corrupt, deeply infested with Nazis and murderers, who issue hit lists of journalists to execute, where he himself has achieved the number one top position on such a list run by the Zelensky government. Yes, they literally run a kill list targeting journalists. Listen to what Scott Ritter has to explain to Mike Adams, please.
Incredible tapestry of fiction weaving by the State Department. But if someone were walking in new to this conversation, like, what's going on in Ukraine and Russia, and what happened to Nord Stream? How would you summarize where we are right now, if you could?
A quick summary would be that the United States, since 1992, has treated Russia as a defeated enemy. Of course, Russia being the successor state to the Soviet Union. We have sought to keep them down. We succeeded in doing that for 10 years under Boris Yeltsin. A new president came in, Vladimir Putin, who wasn't going to play that game. And we've been trying to get rid of Putin ever since. And we do that by trying to destabilize Russia. And one of the key aspects of destabilizing Russia was to expand NATO to Russia's border, to include stripping away Ukraine from a Russian sphere of influence, knowing that this would provoke a confrontation with Russia. Now we have the fight. It's a fight we thought we could win by sanctioning Russia, bringing about the economic destruction of Russia, and therefore creating the conditions for the people of Russia to rise up and remove Putin from power. We miscalculated. The Russians actually flipped the script. Their economy is doing well and getting better. Europe's economy, on the other hand, isn't doing well. And the last time I went to the supermarket and looked at energy prices, we got some issues too. There's also a shooting war on the ground. We've turned what was a Russian-Ukrainian regional conflict into existential battle of survival between Russia and the collective West, the United States, NATO, and some non-NATO European countries who are using Ukraine as a proxy to fight Russia. And surprise, surprise, we're not doing well in that either. You know, it's a year into the conflict. And the fact is the Russians have mobilized successfully. They have positioned their military on the battlefield in a manner which will lead to victory over Ukraine, a Ukraine that has been propped up by the United States taxpayer dollar, by NATO weaponry. In brief, people say, well, how can you be so confident? What I'll say is this. This war is very complex, but it, by and large, it's a war that's defined by field artillery. That's the number one killer of people. And the side that has the most guns, that can fire the most shells in the most accurate manner, is going to be the side that's going to win. Russia is that side. But more importantly, the Ukrainians, who received a tremendous amount of artillery support from the United States and NATO, they're running out of ammunition, and they will run out of ammunition this summer. And because they've depleted NATO stocks, there's nothing left to give them. And we don't have a mobilized defense industry to build or produce new ammunition. So they're literally, they're done. This summer, if they don't find additional resources to provide ammunition, when the guns stop firing, the war's over. And Ukrainian guns look like they're going to stop firing, and the Russian guns will never stop firing.
Okay, we've got so many issues from what you just said there. I took a few notes, but let me just get this out of the way at the front. Is it fair to characterize your position as essentially anti-war, in the sense that you don't want people to die, you don't want conflict, you want a negotiated peace of some kind? Is that a fair characterization?
I would modify it as such. First of all, I'm a Marine. War is my business.
Right.
So if you want a war, I'll give you a war. If you want to die, I'll kill you. I have no problem with this. So I'm not anti-war.
Okay.
I did a tweet. It got me in a lot of trouble. But it roughly
encapsulates
my position. What I said is I'm a dog owner, and I love dogs. And I would never want to bring harm to dogs. If I find a stray dog, I'm going to take it in. I'm going to take it to a shelter. I'm going to care for it. But if there's a rabid dog in the street, it needs to be shot. And we need Atticus Finch, who is the lawyer from To Kill a Mockingbird, the World War I veteran sharpshooter who came out and shot a rabid dog in the streets. And that's my position. And I view Ukraine as a rabid dog, and I view Russia as Atticus Finch. So even though I'm anti-war and I would prefer a negotiated settlement, let's never forget that the Ukrainian government has embraced the ideology of Stepan Bandera, a ultra-nationalist who fought alongside Adolf Hitler's Third Reich, has the blood of tens of thousands of Jews on his hands, hundreds of thousands of Poles, hundreds of thousands of Russians, and he is the national hero of Volodymyr Zelensky's Ukraine today. My uncle fought in World War II. I have other relatives that fought in World War II. They fought against the Nazi threat. And so I'm not going to sit by and pretend that there's some sort of equilibrium between the Russians and the Ukrainians today in Ukraine. This is actually a war between good and evil. And evil is defined by the odious neo-Nazi ideology of the Zelensky government. And while I don't agree with everything Russia does on this side, they're on the right side of history. So I can't say I'm anti-war. What I am is, I would prefer that a peaceful solution could be found to these problems. I would prefer that war didn't break out. But rabid dog is running in the streets, and I'd prefer he didn't have rabies. But now that he does, he needs to be put down.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that clarification, because, you know, the history of the work that you've done for the United States of America as a UN weapons inspector. I mean, at least my understanding is you helped negotiate some of the key treaties that probably prevented Western Europe from being hit by nuclear weapons over the last several decades. And so in a sense, your efforts, and you were really critical in this, is my understanding, but you can speak to it. Your efforts helped secure the peace by preventing war in Europe. And now a lot of that's just being thrown away at this point because of the State Department and the interactions. But go ahead and speak to that, if you would, please, sir.
No, I'm somebody who understands the awful reality of war, and therefore I want to ensure that we do everything humanly possible to prevent war, that war should be the absolute last option, that we should exhaust every possibility short of war before we make the awful decision to go to war. Because to me, what war stands for is dead Marines. And as a Marine officer, my number one responsibility is the lives of the Marines that the American people have entrusted to me. So the last thing I want is dead Marines. The last thing I want to do is put my Marines in harm's way for a cause that's not worthy of the sacrifice we're asking them to make. And so this is why I am such an advocate for peaceful solutions. I believe firmly that old men should yak until they're exhausted. Nobody dies when old men or old women yak. But when they stop yakking and they hand guns off to the young people and they start shooting each other, then we have a problem. Now, again, if there's rabid dogs out there, give the guns to the ones who can take the rabid dog down. I have no problem with that. But we cannot view using the military as the first option, the option of first resort. You know, war isn't Hollywood. We have a whole generation of people that have grown up believing in, you know, video games, Call of Duty, Medal of Honor. I guess there's some better ones out there nowadays. I don't know. But, you know, when you die in those, you get to hit reset. You come back up and you go, hey, that was cool. Right. There's no reset button in war. When you're dead, you're dead. When the arm's gone, it's gone. When the brain's addled, it's addled. There's no recovery from that. So we need to understand the awful cost of war, the awful reality of war, and make sure it doesn't happen unless it's absolutely necessary, the absolute last recourse to a problem that if we don't solve it will manifest itself in a direct threat to the American people. And so this is why I have spent the best part of my adult life working to come up with solutions to conflict. Look, I fought in Desert Storm. And so I know that there are times when, there are no solutions and you have to unleash the dogs of war. And then you do what you do. And war is an ugly business. There's nothing pretty about it. There's nothing glamorous about it. It's an ugly business. But then you get it done and then you pick yourself up and you try and move forward in a manner that builds on the horrible tragedy of what's occurred in a positive fashion to prevent future wars. And this is what I've been doing. I did it as a weapons inspector in the Soviet Union to try and prevent nuclear conflict between the United States and the Soviet Union successfully. And then I did it in the aftermath of Desert Storm, trying to disarm Iraq of weapons of mass destruction so there wouldn't be a recurrence of conflict. And I ran into a problem with my government because they didn't want Iraq disarmed. They wanted Saddam Hussein gone, and they were using this process to get rid of Saddam. And they wanted to tell lies about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction to justify the 2003 invasion. So I
Didn't they actually send you in to a facility and say that your job is to find weapons there, illegal weapons, even if they don't exist, or something along those lines?
Yeah, in March of 1998, after meetings in the White House and State Department, a team that I was the chief inspector of leading was dispatched to Iraq, to the Iraqi Ministry of Defense. That's like going to the Pentagon. And they wanted me to inspect the Minister of Defense's office. That's like going to the Secretary of Defense office. Now imagine a scenario where Iraqi inspectors show up outside the Pentagon. Hey, boss, we want to come in and inspect the Secretary of Defense office. We wouldn't let them in. We'd say no. And the Iraqis said, if you try to inspect the Ministry of Defense, it's a red line. It'll be war. So this was a deliberate provocation by the United States to use inspection teams to provoke the conditions for a war with Iraq. Unfortunately for the United States, I'm somebody who, believe that our job as a UN weapons inspector was to implement the United Nations mandate of legitimate arms control through verification. And I was able to negotiate entry into the Ministry of Defense with the Iraqi officials. And I'm talking about the most senior people in Iraq. And we did this because they trusted me. They didn't like me because I was a son of you know what. My nickname was Abu Azamat, father of all crises. I was bad guy. I was the guy that came in and there was always a problem. But I was always honest with them. And they knew that I was doing the mandate I was given and nothing more. So when I told them, trust me, if you don't let me in, there's going to be a war. The only way you avoid this war is you have to let me in and you have to let me do my job without any interference. And after a couple hours of back and forth, they finally agreed to let me in on my terms, on my conditions. And we carried out the inspection. We found nothing and we stopped the war. And after that, I've been called an enemy of the state by American officials. Sandy Berger called me
critically, sorry to interrupt, but at that point when you found nothing, didn't the intelligence community at that time sort of wink and a nod? They wanted you to find something, right? Didn't they kind of say you need to find something?
They wanted me to get blocked.
So they could say, okay.
So they could say they're hiding something. The idea was that I was going to go in because the Iraqis had said, we will never let inspectors into this building, ever, ever.
Okay.
So the idea was for me to go there, get blocked, and then we could say they won't let them in because they're hiding something. Then they would launch the attack. I screwed that whole plan up by getting in the building and doing the detailed inspection. And I didn't know what the outcome would be. If there was something there, I would have found it. I would have. I'm that good. My team was that good. But we got in and we didn't find anything. And we issued that report. And in doing so, we prevented a war. And at that time, I thought I'd done a great thing. But my government called me a traitor. And that was the beginning of the end of my relationship with the U.S. government.
Right. So that was the turning point where then you became they condemned you as the enemy, I guess, of that was the Bush administration. That was Clinton at that time, which then became Bush, but they never changed their stance on you from that point, correct?
No.
And certainly not today.
I've been a bad guy ever since then, apparently.
Okay, my. And then now you've been added to the, what is this, the Ukraine? You're number one, Scott. You're number one on a list of, you've reached the number one status, which is always an important milestone. But tell us about that list.
Well, there's actually two lists, and you don't want to be on either of them. One is the Center for Countering Disinformation, a unique name because it's a purely propaganda outlet of the Office of the President in Ukraine. So they work directly for Volodymyr Zelensky. And this is an office that was created by the U.S. State Department, actually funded by U.S. taxpayers. And they take anybody who speaks out in a manner that opposes the narrative being pushed by the Ukrainian government, by the U.S. government, by mainstream media. If you dare challenge this, then you get put on this list. It's a blacklist. They call you a Russian propagandist. They call you an information terrorist. They call you a war criminal. And the idea is to have you canceled, meaning by making this label, the idea is for you to be blacklisted and not allowed on any media outlets, et cetera. They've also called for my arrest, but fortunately, the U.S. government hasn't decided to act on that yet. This is the list I'm number one on, but there's another list called Mir Tvoretz. It's the World Traveler list. This is the list run by the Ukrainian Intelligence Service, and it's a hit list. If you're on this list, you're marked to die.
And some people have been killed on that
list. They have actually killed people. When they do, they put a red line through saying liquidated. So they're bragging about doing this. And so I'm on this list. A number of Americans are on this list. And the U.S. government's doing nothing about it. Literally nothing about it. We are being marked for death for exercising our constitutional right of free speech. You know, you don't have to agree with me. A lot of people don't. And that's okay. That's what makes America great. We disagree. We can have a debate, a dialogue, a discussion, or we can't. It's up to you. I don't care. But we're exercising our constitutional right of free speech. You should not be condemned to die for doing that which you are permitted under your constitution. And you should not be condemned to die in an organization that's supported by the U.S. government and funded by U.S. taxpayer. That's an indirect way of avoiding the First Amendment prohibition against Congress passing laws that abridge the free speech of Americans. Congress, in this case, didn't pass a law, but they passed a budget giving money to the Ukrainians so they can stifle free speech by threatening me and my family with death. And this, it's something this is we have to live with every day of the week.
Absolutely, yeah. But this is a critical issue that affects you and many other Americans. Including people like myself as well. You know, I've been blacklisted off every platform you can imagine. That's why I had to build this platform, Brighteon. I had to build it because they wouldn't let me on any platform whatsoever. But of course, they didn't like me talking about Big Pharma. For you, it's, you know, geopolitics and the State Department and war and so on. But for me, it was Big Pharma and vaccines. But a couple of key issues here. They want to silence you. Not because the things that you say are totally insane and make no sense. Although obviously some people could disagree with your, you know, your characterizations of Zelensky or what have you. And that's fine. Like you said, disagreement is okay. But when you talk about Nord Stream, when you talk about the lack of munitions, when you talk about the expansion of NATO, these are all factual things that actually make a lot of sense with a lot of people. And it's as if the State Department just wants to silence you because your questions make so much sense about those issues. What do you think about that angle?
No, that's 100% correct. I'll show you the absurdity of this. back when they formed this list in July of last year, 2022, I was one of the first people put on the list. And my number one crime, they listed at that time three. I think right now I've got about six things that I'm accused of doing. But the number one thing I was accused of doing back then was to call the conflict a proxy conflict between NATO and Russia.
Which is now admitted by State Department.
Not just the State Department. The Ukraine Minister of Defense has come out and openly said, no, this is a proxy conflict between Ukraine and between NATO and Russia, and Ukraine is the middleman. I was just telling the truth back when I said this first back in March. But back then, that was an inconvenient narrative that you couldn't put forward. Now, situations change. So I'm expecting the Minister of Defense to be right alongside me on this list, you know, because we both believe the same thing.
You said it first, which is your crime. You said it first, but you see, same thing happened to me when COVID came out. I said, of course, that came out of a lab in China in Wuhan. Of course, it did. And for 3 years, you know, you're censored. You're called a conspiracy theorist, and then now the U.S. Department of Energy comes out and says, yeah, it came out of Wuhan, and the FBI says, yeah, it came out of Wuhan. Well, so Scott, your crime is the same as my crime. We're ahead of our time. It's the head of time crime.
Yeah, because I've been accused of other things. For instance, people have taken umbrage over my characterization of the Bucha massacre that's alleged to have taken place in the first days of April of last year. But all I've said is that when you have a Ukrainian government official going on social media warning people to stay indoors and don't worry about the shooting, that there's cleansing operations taking place. When you have the Ukrainian intelligence service put out on their webpage, the Safari unit will be doing cleansing operations, targeting collaborators and bragging about it. And then you have a videotape of this Safari unit in Bucha where the people are saying, hey, look, he's got a white armband or he's not wearing a blue armband. Can we shoot them? And the answer is yes, shoot them. When you take all of that and the end result is bodies on the ground wearing white armbands signifying some sort of sympathy to Russia, holding Russian, ration packs, thereby meeting the definition of collaborator, you have a very strong circumstantial case that the Ukrainian government was involved. And this is what I wrote. I said, if there's going to be investigation, we need to do a forensic evaluation of the bodies. We need to determine time of death, mechanism of death. We need somebody to go through the bodies and look at the angle of the bullet wounds, the type of round fired, because the Ukrainians use a different round than the Russians. So a good forensic examination of these bodies while they're fresh will tell you exactly who was responsible. And I firmly believe it was the Ukrainians. But then these bodies were cleaned up, buried, disposed of in a manner that, basically corrupted the evidence, and suddenly everybody's coming out saying, Russia did it, Russia did it, Russia did it. I'm guilty of asking questions. I'm guilty of connecting the dots. I'm guilty of putting forward a fact-based assessment of the situation that I believe will stand the test of time, but it certainly is inconvenient to the Ukrainians and the Americans and everybody else who has gone down that path. And I can go over and over and over again with these another one I was guilty of. I'm a ballistic missile expert, supposedly. I've done a little bit of work in ballistic missiles in the Soviet Union and Iraq. So I know them, and I know how to investigate things that deal with the ballistic missiles. So when in April, a Tochka-U, which is a specific kind of missile, landed in Kramatorsk, a city next to a train station, killing a bunch of women and children who were getting ready to be evacuated, the Ukrainians immediately said, the Russians did it. The Russians did it. And I'm looking at it going, well, first of all, from an order of battle perspective, only the Ukrainians have the Tochka-U. So we got a problem right now. If you're telling me the Russians suddenly brought them out of retirement, that's a different issue. But when we do basic analysis of the debris, you know, the missile flies on a given path. When it lands, the warhead separates, then the missile body separates. So the impact crater will be ahead of the missile body. So where the missile the body is and where the crater is, you can draw a line that'll take you straight back in the direction that it was fired from, and it goes straight back to Ukrainian territory. And then you look at the serial number and you determine the batch when it was made and the contract where it was delivered. And that serial number is linked to Tochka U missiles delivered to the Ukrainian military. So all the forensic data screams this was a Ukrainian attack. And yet I'm a Russian propagandist for daring to point that out.
Well, yeah. I mean, Scott, your crime is believing in facts. I mean, that's in our society today. You can't dare believe in facts. You have to follow the propaganda. But, you know, the best skill of the West is projection, you know, projecting their tactics, their false flags, perhaps their crimes upon the enemy. Now, I have no doubt, though, by the way, for the record, and you know, you might berate me for this, but I have no doubt that there are certainly some war crimes that have been carried out by certain segments of Russian troops as well. And I think it happens in every war. It happened in Vietnam with American troops. But in the big picture, I have seen a lot of cases where the Ukrainian leadership, Zelensky, is blaming Russia for things that clearly were carried out by Zelensky. And so, it's obvious at this point. It's projection.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
That's, of course, fascinating stuff. I wanted to play that because I regard Scott Ritter as about as definitive a source as we have on what's going on. He explained that NATO is the aggressor in the conflict, that NATO has broken every promise, violated every treaty, incessantly lied its way into transforming Ukraine into a proxy state for NATO, from which the West plans to completely destroy Russia and its people. But Putin is not going to let it happen. I just found so much there confirmatory of previous reports I've been making about what's taking place. Mike Adams also asked him about Russia's nuclear weapons capabilities, hypersonic missiles, hyperglide vehicles, and anti-air systems. Scott Ritter reiterated Russia is far ahead of the West in weapon technology, both offensive and defensive, and that if Russia were to launch a nuclear weapons attack against Western cities, there's nothing in the U.S. military defense arsenal could stop them from reaching their intended target, even worse. He explained Russia has a Samet-2 missile system already deployed, each of which carries up to 15 nuclear reentry vehicles, can be launched on a trajectory over the South Pole, bringing them into the U.S. from a direction for which U.S. National Defense Forces are unprepared. He explained the U.S. focuses its missile tracking and interdiction system on the North Pole, since that's the shortest distance between Russia and the continental United States. But the Russian missiles have the range to go the other way and travel over the South Pole of the planet to hit targets right here in North America. Absolutely sensational stuff, and I very much wanted to share. Now, notice how many points Scott Ritter made about inconvenient truths being declared to be disinformation by administrations, and some are Republican like Bush and Cheney, and some are Democrat like Biden-Harris. But the lies are just simply overwhelming. A fellow named Jeff Childers has done an interesting piece of talking about, you know, how many of the conspiracy theories of the past turn out to be conspiracy facts of today. Declass 8, Thursday, March 2nd. You'll never believe how fast the U.S. government is willing to pin the blame for COVID on China, Disinformation becomes information faster than we can keep up, and more. Jeff Childers. Good morning and happy Thursday. He calls his blog Coffee and COVID. Your roundup today includes the Senate moving expeditiously to declassify COVID origin information. DeSantis and Lepato both dropped new books. Texas bill would pay couples to make babies. A recap of recent non-misinformation or un-misinformation or whatever. It's a lot of disinformation that is suddenly just information. Bill Maher doesn't trust the media for some reason, and Rasmussen's overlooked poll on COVID injuries. Good stuff here. Setting a new land speed record, the Democrat-controlled Senate unanimously passed a bill last night to declassify all U.S. government information related to the origins of COVID. Every bit of it, you betcha. Behold the awesome and terrible power of the U.S. government, at least when it gets some motivation from whomever is in charge now. Here's the remarkable timeline so far. On Sunday, the Department of Energy released an unrequested five-page report stating with low confidence, meaning some confidence but not much, that COVID leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. On Monday, the Wall Street Journal dropped an exclusive story about COVID origins from the Wuhan lab. Monday night, FBI Director Christopher Wray went on Fox and threw China under the bus of being liable for the pandemic and trying to cover it up. Last night, the split Democrat-controlled Senate unanimously passed a bill to declassify all COVID origin documents. I don't know. You tell me. This train looks like it's on a fast track. After all this time, China may get the blame for COVID after all. Media will get hold of the documents, write new, more expansive stories backed up with government evidence. And when people see what comes out, it seems likely we will all be totally outraged. Then folks will start demanding reparations from China, which will then incite counter-accusations and demands from the Chinese side. But why? And why now? We don't know. China chimed in Tuesday. Chief Nerd tweeting, new China issues a warning that Elon Musk has stopped promoting the Wuhan lab leak theory. He could be breaking the pot of China. This is a Chinese saying that's similar to biting the hand that feeds you. Most folks interpreted the warning to mean China wants Twitter to clamp down on all this official U.S. government information fingering China for a COVID lab leak. That isn't going to happen, obviously. But Elon Musk has been notably quiet about politics lately, tweeting instead about SpaceX launches, population problem, and Tesla's sustainable energy plan. In other words, Elon is staying out of it personally. But there's no sign that Twitter is throttling lab leak discussion. We're headed somewhere. We just don't know where yet. This is a very smart guy. In case you missed it, Governor DeSantis' new book is out already at number 5 on Amazon bestseller list. His team released this picture at his official book signing. It looks pretty frantic and funny. If you care at all about their opinion, this week's New York Times review of The Courage to be Free was underwhelming, describing DeSantis' book as reading like a politician's memoir churned out by ChatGPT. ChatGPT did not respond to a request for comment, I suspect, because its feelings are still hurt. Florida's courageous Surgeon General, Dr. Joe Lepato, also just released his own book, Transcend Fear, a blueprint for mindful leadership in public health. The book's Amazon listing includes a prominent banner helping readers find the CDC, so I can get reliable misinformation about a COVID vaccine. Reliable misinformation. I like that. Sorry, I should have said information. Is that misinformation or whatever? You can trust the CDC. Asterisk, asterisk, results not guaranteed. Again, I say I really like this guy. So far as I know, this is the first time I've run across his stuff. One presumes that the releases of Governor DeSantis in his Surgeon General book are signaling they're preparing for a political move of some kind. Stay tuned. Yesterday, Texas State Representative Brian Slatton filed House Bill 2889 titled Providing Property Tax Relief to Families. The bill, which is already massively triggering liberals, would give Texas families property tax relief based on how many kids they have. It's intended to promote marriage, discourage divorce, and encourage having or adopting kids. Under the proposed law, any couple who marries and stays married gets a 10% property tax credit. A family with four or more biological or adopted kids, we get a 40% tax credit. And if you can imagine this, for extremely intimate couples having 10 or more kids, up to a complete 100% tax credit. We have to do something about population decline. This is a great start. Slate bill faces all kinds of backlash and opposition, but we'll keep an eye on it. Let's recap the major conspiracy theories that all passed their six-month expiration date over the last 2 weeks and are suddenly no longer misinformation. And what do you call it when something that was officially misinformation is now just information? Does it become un-misinformation, or is it now de-misinformation, or is it just re-information? Love it. So confusing. Anyway, take a look at these four giant issues that for the last 3 years were totally banned from public discussion by anyone who is cancelable. As mentioned above, the Wuhan lab leak is no longer a conspiracy theory, having received support from two federal agencies, FBI Director Chris Wray, and now the U.S. Senate. Remember that in 2020, Fauci and Francis Collins were so concerned about lab leak misinformation that they organized a secret media campaign to discredit anyone who promoted the idea. Oh, unless we forget, it was a hate crime, racist, to blame the Wuhan flu on China. But not now. A recent Lancet meta-analysis of 65 other studies concluded that natural immunity is as good as or better than vaccine-acquired immunity. The study showed that prior infection offered 78% against reinfection from the original Wuhan Alpha or Delta variants at 40 weeks, though it slipped to 36% against Omicron. But natural immunity protection against severe illness remained around 90% across all variants after 40 weeks. Here's an opinion piece. 3 years late, The Lancet recognizes natural immunity. The public health clarity rediscovers a principle of immunology that is derided throughout the pandemic. It was bad enough that people were getting canceled on social media for promoting natural immunity. I don't need to show you the montages of U.S. government officials, media personalities, and so-called experts babbling about how much better vaccine-induced immunity was than natural immunity, which is the reason why you should get your shot, your second shot, your third, your booster, so forth and so on. Never mind. A George Mason University study, third now, compared areas with and without jab mandates. and concluded that the mandates neither increase vaccine uptake nor reduce COVID cases. Imagine that. Well, you can't honestly say they didn't do anything, since they did trash the economy. George Mason's study finds no evidence that COVID mandates in major cities reduced COVID cases. Ha ha. If you tried posting something on Facebook last year about jab mandates failing to slow the spread of COVID, I hope you stood back outside the blast radius. Again, I say this guy is super smart, and I like his style. I repeat the name, Jeff Childers. Jeff Childers. And last but not least, the gold standard, Cochrane Meta Review, pretty much definitively ended the mask debate. Masks don't work. At least if slowing the spread of COVID is how you define working. But they're very effective for virtue signaling. The best bit is you don't even have to wear them. Just put a mask in your biopic. You could also wear it alone in the car if it makes you feel more attractive or soothes your anxiety. Since I personally have been labeled a mask denier and a science denier and received death threats over my successful mask lawsuit, precluding mask mandates in 31 Florida counties, not to mention being canceled from several platforms, I can tell you that this particular issue is more verboten than any other. It now appears that I, not my critics, was following the science all along. They are the science deniers. And I bet a lot of you people are in the same boat as me. All four findings had previously been designated as misinformation or disinformation by the government and by major social media fact checkers who still, by some miracle, appear to remain employed. So what on earth is going on the last couple of weeks? At least part of the explanation must include the freeing of Twitter because of the Missouri v. Biden case and because the Twitter files expose your government meddling in social media at the minimum. The lawsuit and those disclosures forced the government to stop, at least for the time being, or at least to stop being so obvious about it. That allowed one floodgate of free discussion to open, and the truth was out and running. That's my best explanation, but I knew something like this was coming, as I predicted in my last year-end post. A pressure had been mounting, and it was obvious that something had to give. I repeat, what a smart guy. Again, his name, Jeff Childers, C-H-I-L-D-E-R-S. And his blog is called COVID and Coffee, COVID ampersand Coffee, Coffee and COVID, Coffee ampersand COVID 2023. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant stuff. I agree with every word he wrote. Well done. Well said. Meanwhile, new poll shows Trump is the only Republican who can beat Biden. Biden is a nobody. The fact is, anybody could beat Biden if they didn't have rigged election machines. Anybody. Biden's a nothing. He's not even Biden, for God's sake. According to a new survey published by Emerson College, it was revealed on Tuesday that only former President Donald Trump among the Republican presidential candidates could win against President Joe Biden in a hypothetical 2024 election. The results of the poll indicated Trump would secure a 46-42 victory over Biden. 7% of those surveyed indicating their preference for a different candidate. 5% unsure. So Diana Glebova tweets, Trump, only Republican that would defeat Biden, poll shows. It comes as no surprise that the poll findings reflect the enduring enthusiasm and fervor that Trump generates among his supporters. Stephen Chung, a representative for Trump, pointed out that Trump is consistently leading by significant margins in multiple polls, and that there is no other candidate who can generate the same level of passion and eagerness as Trump to successfully defeat Joe Biden. The poll results make it evident that only President Trump, among the Republican contenders, has a viable opportunity to defeat Biden in the 2024 election. The survey indicated that if pitted against Biden, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley would lose by a margin of 40% to 37%. Florida Governor DeSantis would lose 44 to 40. In the hypothetical Republican primary, Trump commands a significant lead with 55% of the vote, followed by DeSantis at 25, former VP Mike Pence at 8, and Haley at 5. Additionally, the survey unveiled that if Trump declares his candidacy, a whopping 79% of those polled would support him. For former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, the figure was 18%. While businessman Vivek Ramaswamy garnered only 4% of the vote. Although other polls have indicated Florida Governor DeSantis could surpass Trump in both a one-on-one competition and a competitive primary, the Trump campaign has insisted that the former president will have a smooth path to victory in a crowded candidate field. It is clear that President Donald Trump is the only Republican nominee who stands a chance at defeating Joe Biden in 2024. With his strong approval ratings among Republicans and his ability to generate enthusiasm and excitement among his supporters, Trump is the only candidate who can beat Biden and restore conservative values to the White House. It is time for Republicans to rally behind President Trump and ensure he is the Republican nominee for 2024 so we can finally get rid of the Biden administration and its liberal policies. But I'm telling you right now, nobody wanted Biden. Biden wasn't elected in 2020. There was a red wave in 2022. It was all manipulated by electronic voting machines. So all these polls are meaningless unless you can correct get rid of electronic voting machines. By the way, here's an interesting piece. Letter to a mainstream straddler. Live not by half lives. Margaret Anna Alice. I get it. You don't want to be called a conspiracy theorist. You don't want to be tarred an anti-vax or a science denier, a far right-wing extremist. You've got your reputation to protect, your credibility, your grant funding. So you water down the truth. You tiptoe around it. You don't go there. And the philanthropists, the tyrants, the big liars, the demociders, and their enablers continue to profit, continue to conspire, continue to torture, continue to slaughter. And they tell you right to your face what they're doing. But if you turn around and quote them, you're the crazy one. If you ask why a child, teen, athlete, or other healthy adult suddenly had a heart attack, got turbo cancer, or died, you're the truly disgusting one. If you provide scientific evidence that a warp speed experimental injection being peddled by a trillion-dollar industry in collision with government, federal agency, the media, and big tech is dangerous, you, not the corporation raking in billions, are the grifter. If you ask what's causing the sudden deaths and injuries that began surging in 2021, in hopes of preventing future such tragedies, you're morally reprehensible, and yet mocking anti-vaxxer COVID deaths may be necessary. If you point out that we should maybe think twice about pushing a product estimated to have killed 13 million human beings and counting, you are the major killing force globally and guilty of undermining public confidence in said product. If you call genocide genocide, you are the enemy. This information spreader, the anti-Semite. If you dare point out never again is already happening, you get inquestioned, even though Holocaust survivors and their relatives agree. If you call out governments for practicing totalitarianism and enacting policies that cause lethal collateral damage, you're the granny killer. If you challenge people to face the livid, electrifying grief of those who have lost loved ones, who financially incentivize hospicide, you are making them uncomfortable. You know you're living in a world of lies when the mob is more enraged at the whistleblowers revealing the deception, corruption, and murder than they are at the lying liars, corrupt corruptors, and murdering murderers themselves. Indeed, they trip over themselves, racing to defend their narcissistic abusers. As Edward Snowden says, when exposing a crime is treated as committing a crime, you are being ruled by criminals. But guess what? Once they start calling you all those hideous names, you realize they're nothing more than a magician's smoke. You gradually start to give fewer and fewer F's. You know you've hit zero when you feel the exhilarating liberation that comes from shouting the unfettered truth.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I like this letter to a mainstream straddler, Live Not By Half Lied, by Margaret Annis Alice, so much I'm going to finish it. Once they start calling you all those hideous names, you realize they're nothing more than magician smoke. You gradually start to get fewer and fewer F's. You know you've hit zero when you feel the exhilarating liberation that comes from shouting the unfettered truth. That's the words can never hurt you stage. You become untouchable. You start collecting libels like purple hearts. The more scars you can count, the more evidence of your efficacy, your threat to the hegemony. That's when you can truly live and by truth. Not by lies. If enough of us stand up and do that, we can hold the perpetrators accountable. We can present the unadulterated evidence of their crimes, and we can find justice or die trying, like the members of the White Rose, whose piercing words to ring out nearly a century later. We will not keep silent. We are your guilty conscience. I'm going to tell you a secret. Stick it out long enough and that tarnished reputation turns into burnished gold. Because when you are slandered by the propagandists, that means you are the good guy. Even though the menticided public believes the opposite. In upside-down world, persisting in seeing things right side up, despite the incessant, relentless, never-ending gaslighting, means you have valiantly guarded your most precious possessions, your integrity, and your sanity. As E.E. Cummings writes, to be nobody but yourself in a world which is doing its best day and night, to make you like everybody else means to fight the hardest battle which any human being can fight and never stop fighting. Most gratifying at all, you'll find fellow members of your caress and you together will set about fulfilling your wampeter. Once you are living in alignment with your values, you will feel the deepest joy fathomable. And when the COVID criminals have been found guilty, when the spells dissolve, the people will gradually awaken from their coma and recognize you for the hero you are. We're not. Most will be too ashamed to admit they've been conned, to realize they shielded fascist tyrants and attacked those trying to rescue them. Few find the courageous humility within themselves to acknowledge their complicity in totalitarianism. And so they will swathe themselves in soothing denial and lash out at anyone who tries to puncture it. But you will keep trying anyway, because that's what truth tellers do. That's what people who care about saving lives do. That's what people of integrity do, whether or not anyone ever recognizes it. You know in your heart what is true and you speak it. And no one can ever shut you up again. Even if they kill you, your bravery will outlive you. Your words will remain like candles, lighting the path for future truth droppers. And you will be at peace in life and beyond. Wow. Wow. That's wonderful. And I find the allusion to White Rose very, very touching. This is a group of anti-fascists in Germany protesting the emergence of the Weimar Republic. Or Mike Palachek, who's a wonderful author of Americana, published a book, White Rose Blooms in Wisconsin, about Kevin Barrett and my efforts to oppose the emergence of fascism right here in the United States. So I find this very, very touching. I may or may not have mentioned the book before, but we published a moonrockbooks.com edition where I added a whole lot of photographs to the original, which was in Mike Palachek's first edition, the size of a phone directory. So I took out a massive list of the efforts that Kevin and I had made on programs we'd done, interviews, videos, and the like. Made room for a conventionally sized book, which you can find at moonrockbooks.com, White Rose Blooms in Wisconsin. I was very touched that Mike decided to publish such a book. He's a super good guy, and I encourage any of you who are interested in stories of America and the Will Rogers tradition, check it out, Mike Palachek, super good guy. Meanwhile, I'm glad to open the lines for callers, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Mitchell, well, I've got you here, since it was you who noticed initially this rather stunning report about Bill Gates and COVID now having a warrant out for murder against him from the Philippines, which enthralls me beyond words. Your thoughts, Mitchell, about these developments. Are we finally going to catch up with the bad guys? Is there a real chance of doing that?
I don't know if that's a chance. I think we can damage their reputation, but unfortunately, you know, they are, I think they're pretty immune the way they're sitting right now. So, but you never know when that'll change, because it's like, Hemingway wrote, you know, in his book about the businessman, how did he, you know, lose? Well, slowly, then suddenly. So I think we're starting to hit the suddenly part.
Nice, I like that. We do have a caller here from the 518 area code. Caller, just give us your first name and state and join the conversation, 518.
Hey, Jim, this is Frank from New York, and I'd like to say hello to you guys. I love you and Mitchell. A while ago, you quoted some, I don't know where it came from, some poll that said that only Trump could beat Biden. I can't believe that. That's ludicrous. Any Republican with a pulse can beat Biden. I mean, you know, anybody. I mean, there's a local guy here. He runs a conservative station, and he contends that they want Trump because then when they're going to run the commercials, they're going to show all of those people who testified at that bogus, that garbage, you know, June 6th committee. They'll be showing him saying, or people saying, well, I called him and I told him to stop the people, but he wouldn't do it and this and that. And I called him and everything. And I just don't know where that poll came from, Jim. But I think any Republican, in my mind, could beat Biden. I mean, even the Democrats, 57% of them, I think, came out recently and said they don't want him to run. I mean, where's the support for this guy? How does he get 40-something percent? His ratings are, what, 25, 30, something like that? And those people are just, they got to be out to lunch mentally if they're still supporting this guy. I mean, inflation, immigration, possible war. I don't see that any benefits this man has provided this country. And I don't know where that poll came from. But if they think that he beats these other people, they're crazy. Anybody could beat him, Jim. I could beat him. You could beat him. Okay, I mean, seriously, I mean, who's going to vote for that guy? I mean, people that we know, they stole your last election. I mean, that's pretty obvious. I mean, you know, when he'd run a rally, you know, they'd have, you know, 50 people out there and they'd have them social distance as if that's the way they had to do it. The bottom line is they couldn't get 50 people or more than 50 at one of those things, you know, unless they were paying them. And who knows if those people who worked there were getting some kind of benefit, you know, come over and stand here and we'll buy you lunch or something. I don't know the whole deal, but I mean, do you believe that poll? And I don't know the originator of it, but do you put any credence in that poll?
The poll came from Emerson College, and actually, among my observations right off with the bat was, this is ridiculous. Nobody cares about Joe Biden. The catch, Frank, is the following. No one's going to be able to beat him as long as we have these electronic voting machines in place. They can run a ham sandwich. I mean, it's just insulting beyond belief what's going on here. Right, I agree with you. Biden is a total, it's not even the real Joe. The guy's got a different shape and size of head. He's got different expressive features of his face.
Earlobes.
Earlobes are different, different signature, whole bit. I published, I don't know, 3 or 4 blogs about it. The evidence is overwhelming. It's not even the Joe Biden of Delaware, appears to have died in 2017. And yet, we just don't get a single word of truth from the mainstream media, Frank, not a single word of truth. I agree, in a legitimate election, anyone could beat Biden, but the way things are read, no one can beat him. Your thought?
I agree with you, Jim. You're right on the money there. I told a friend of mine, you know, if they keep stealing elections, and I think they stole the last two, okay, yeah. I think we can all agree on that. You know, if they steal elections, then, you know, they become the people in power. They appoint the law enforcement officers, the DOJ, you know what I mean? They put people in prison, okay? I mean, those people down there in Washington, D.C., I mean, it's disgusting. You know, I was listening to Harrison Smith this morning. He was supposed to get a call from Joe Biggs. You familiar with Biggs?
Tell me. Joe Biggs. Remind me.
Okay, I think Joe Biggs, I think he was a reporter for InfoWars with Alex Jones, okay? And he's one of these guys who got incarcerated, caught up in the, you know, the scam that they ran that day, you know. But anyway, Harrison Smith was trying to get a call. I think they were going to try to get a call out to him this morning. I couldn't hear his whole show, but what I did hear, no call came through. Because he said early on, he said, if Joe Biggs calls through, whatever we're doing, we're going to take his call. Because you don't know how the calls go out of those prisons, how long they let them go out. And, you know, it might be 2 minutes. You don't know when they're going to do it. But I didn't hear it get out. Now, maybe Alex got him on. I don't listen, Alex, when you're on. You know what I mean? But it's disgusting what they're doing to those people down there. You know what I mean? And I told a friend of mine, I said, you know, this is to scare all conservatives. Just keep your head down, move along and go along with the program. You know what I mean? They prosecute the hell out of these guys. Meanwhile, we saw what Black Lives Matter and Antifa did, burning down buildings, killing cops, killing other people. Oh, no charges. I heard somebody talk the other day. They were talking about one of those places out there. I forget what show it was. But, you know, they arrested a bunch of people, you know, for destruction of property and violence and stuff. And the DOJ only charged a fraction of them, a portion of them, instead of all of them. You know, and down here, they're grabbing Granny and anybody who went into that building. You know what I mean? We don't, you know, I don't know what Tucker was supposed to get this stuff. I don't see why the McCarthy, okay? I don't see why, you know, he just didn't put that right out on the internet. All of the tapes he had, and let people all of the media can come at once and see what they've got, and let's see the real deal. I mean, you're aware, I'm aware, Mitchell's aware, the listeners are aware. These people were lured in there in a great degree, you know what I mean? But they suppressed that, you know, and a lot of people believe that June 6th committee, you know, and I mean, they've got some people testifying, and, you know, I think some people are telling the truth and whatever, but the way they slanted it, it's disgusting. And they say it was balanced because they brought in, you know, Liz Cheney. I mean, what a disgusting thing she is. And her father, you know, I don't know if you recall, but years ago, excuse me, he was out at an open air bazaar or something. I forget where it was, out in Denver, okay, in Eagle County, okay. And he was talking, and some guy was walking by with his kid, and he said, "Your policies in Iraq are reprehensible." And then later on, the guy came by, okay. The guy dropped his kid off for some lessons or something, and who's this? Is Cheney's bodyguards, okay? These agents, they grabbed the guy, okay, and they arrested him for assault, all right. And they put him in the Eagle County jail out there, okay? And he was in there for a day or something, and then he let him out. And eventually they dropped the charges. But, I mean, the audacity. And apparently they said that the assault, they charged him. Apparently the guy tapped him on the shoulder or touched him on the shoulder or something. But, I mean, it was disgusting what he got away with. I mean, Cheney, you know, I think in Vermont he's considered a war criminal. I'm not positive with that, but, I mean, you know, the things that we see going on these days, and some people can do what they want and there's no problem, and other people, there's really no problem, but they might wind up in jail. And you're right on the money. I hear people saying, you know, and they had the 2,000 mules where, you know, they show these guys going in, one guy drops, you know, 20 times into one of these boxes or whatever. And that's okay, but that's kind of cumbersome. And I agree with you. I think it's the machines. I mean, those machines can, you know, you can flip the switch and, you know, you can move 100,000 votes in a second. You don't have to lug all of those ballots around and drop them off. You know, I know Mike Lindell said that he saw, excuse me, I think it was five influxes of like 90,000 votes for Fetterman. Okay, you know, the 90,000 here, 90,000 there. He said, you know, they supplied him with 450 extra thousand votes. And I'm still shocked that was enough to carry him. I mean, look at the guy now. You know, somebody was questioning if he's still alive. I guess the Republican Party and somewhere down there in Pennsylvania or whatever was saying, hey, you know, is this guy around? He's still voting. We can't see him. Nobody knows where he is or whatever. You know, he's supposedly in the hospital, and I don't think he's dead. But, you know what I mean? The guy is, you know, he should never have been elected. I really don't believe he was elected. I think they stole that election. Although I'm not a big fan of Dr. Oz, but I totally agree with you. Stealing them, and if they steal the next one, Jim, this country might as well bend over and kiss the old fanny goodbye, in my opinion. And I agree with you. I think it's the machines, not so much the, you know, the ballot harvesting and stuff.
Oh, it's embarrassing, Frank. What's going on here? Just simply ridiculous beyond words, and to allow this kind of theft of our most precious legacy, our right to vote, is just absolutely reprehensible. And the Democrats are all in because, of course, they are benefiting so massively from it. Just awful. Just awful.
They're just staying out of jail is a big benefit for them. But, I mean, they're pushing their policies through. And, you know, I mean, I want to see these tapes. You know what I mean? Tucker was supposed to be getting some of them. And I don't know what transpired there. And I don't know what he was going to put on the show. I mean, I think Tucker's a, you know, a shining light on the whole television operation. You know what I mean? But, yeah. You know, I'd like to see some of these tapes. You know, they got supposedly 40,000 hours of them. You know, let's see some of these guards taking selfies with themselves and inviting people in. You know, that's not the way I read about insurrections. I thought they were a little more violent than that. You know what I mean? But, you know, somebody broke a window and, you know, somebody, you know, did this and that. And, oh, all these guys died. And, oh, the poor cops. Oh, gee, what a... You know, Trump asked for this, for support before that. You know what I'm saying? We know that. You know, but a lot of people in the media won't ever report that. And a lot of people, you know, especially loyal Democrats, they don't want to hear it. They watch CNN and, you know, MSNBC, and they believe whatever they say. And we know it's, you know, bullshit coming from those people.
Yeah, yeah, I agree completely, completely.
You know. Go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry. I start ranting and rambling. You know, I just go.
No, Frank. I think your comments are all excellent. Very timely, very appropriate. Love them. I'm glad, very glad when you call. So, you know.
Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate you. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say I would sure like it if this murder warrant against Bill Gates is something that goes forward. What could be better than that? This guy's one of the great monsters of all time, not just of our era, but of all time, in my judgment.
Oh, I concur. And he's got the little puppet Fauci there who pushes, you know, the agenda, you know, I mean. Gates' father was big in the abortion industry, you know what I mean? Population control, you know what I mean? We got to worry about too many people. I mean, that's been garbage. The more people we have, I mean, do you know how much food we throw away each year? You know, they throw, oh, we can't feed the people. I heard that, you know, I think our country alone throws away a couple hundred thousand tons of food every year. You know, the people, we get it. Hey, I throw food out. You know, I know my son-in-law, you know, they buy some stuff and keep it around for a while. You know, they throw it out. You know, we waste a lot, but people aren't, you know, starving. I mean, you know what I mean? And the more people you have, the more brain power you have, the more inventions you can come up with, the more you can improve society. But, you know, it doesn't seem to be going in that direction, unfortunately, you know. I'll tell you, we are fortunate to live during the period we did. You know, I grew up in the 50s, you know what I mean? I was born in 43. So I grew up in the 50s and the 60s, and, you know, you could go someplace and you don't have to worry about getting beat up or having this stolen or whatever. You could leave the door open at night, you know, and I lived in the city, you know, it wasn't like I was out in the country where you could do that most of the time anyway, probably, you know, but look at the way the country's going, Jim. Like you said, it's craziness. It's craziness.
It is. It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
You know. It's you know, and they can't get anybody to you know, enlist, you know what I mean? And I can understand why, you know, I mean, look at the way they treat the military. The vets come home and, you know, we got vets living out in the streets and we got the, you know, the immigrants coming in or putting them in, you know, top-notch hotels. They had a bunch in, I think it was New York City, that, you know, they didn't want to leave. I don't know if they had to force them out or whatever, but they were giving them accommodations, and I think they were getting their mails delivered to them. And, you know, hey, you know, here's paradise, you know, just run across the border, you know. And who knows what kind of stuff is coming across the border. We all know the fentanyl's coming, but, you know, we don't hear any problems about the fentanyl. Oh, no, it's COVID. It's this and that. You know, fentanyl's killing people from, you know, their 20s up to their 50s or 60s. I see the local newspaper, you know, and they got all of these, you know, died suddenly, you know what I mean? Died unexpectedly. And you see these people, and they're in their 30s or 40s or whatever. And, you know, I mean, some people might say, well, that's the result of the, you know, the jab. But, you know, I've been seeing these things for a couple of years now. And, you know, it's just disgusting. But they don't focus on that. That would have to put the spotlight on the immigration issue, and they don't want to do that. But I mean, Biden getting 40 something percent, in, according to that poll that you quoted earlier. Who are we going to vote for the guy? I mean, I can't believe that they could, you know, come up with something like that. They must have, were they down in Delaware taking that poll and around Joe's neighborhood or something? I mean, you know, and then those people probably would say, hey, we don't want him back either. I mean, look at the job the guy's done. And I really can't blame him. I mean, he's taking orders from somebody. And I think it's Obama personally, okay? You know, I think I mentioned to you once before, 2 days after Trump won the election, they had that meeting. And, you know, Trump came out of that meeting, and I know you're a big Trump supporter, but he looked pretty scared. You know, these things didn't last 10 minutes, and that was an hour and a half. And, you know, the next day his two big, cries, you know what I mean, his two big, slogans were build the wall and jail Hillary. You know, and we didn't get the wall, and Hillary's still out there, and there's people talking about her maybe making a run in 24. You know, like you said, though, anybody in the Democratic Party could win because they're probably going to steal it again. And then when they steal that one, then it's probably the death knell, Jim. It's probably over if they steal another one.
I wish I could find ground to disagree with you, Frank, but I think you got it right. It's just absolutely appalling. What would you suspect Obama told Trump? That his family were going to be crucified, that they were going to be chopped up into little pieces if he didn't cooperate? What do you think?
I think he was threatened. I don't think he was compromised with something that they had in the past. I mean, they try to run. I mean, the guy's been a womanizer basically all his life. You know what I mean? But, hey, John Kennedy, he likes some women, too, and he was probably one of our greatest presidents, in my opinion, anyway. And I think a lot of people, you know. But, there's a body language reader, and she said when he came out there, you could see the fear in his eyes. And, you know, Jeff Rentz, and, you know, I know you and Rentz part of ways, you know what I mean? He's part of ways with a few good people, in my opinion. But, you know, when you see Trump, you know, if you go to Daily Mail, they show some pictures of him meeting with Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell after that. And, you know, you can see his eyes. I mean, he's forcing a smile, but he's really not, his eyes show that he's not happy, you know. And it does look like he was threatened, in my opinion. And I think he was compromised at that time. And then a couple of days later, he says, okay, Hillary's, they're not bad people. They've been through a lot and this and that. And we know what Hillary's done. She's got the body count. She's got all kinds of things going. The people down in Haiti, I mean, you know, the Clinton, Foundation or Worldwide Foundation or whatever, the scam that goes on there. I mean, it's a joke. Hillary belongs in jail. You know what I mean? I was hoping. I said, let's see one of these people go down. You know what I mean? But the big shots never go down, Jim. You know, sometimes it's the lower person or somebody along the line that's going to have to bite the bullet. You know, it's disgusting, and they turned into the DOJ is basically now a weapon of the Democratic Party. You know, it's
Frank,
terrible.
Yes, great call. We will spend much time than we can.
Okay, guys. Have a good day. Keep up the good work. Have a good weekend. You and Mitchell. Right. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny?
Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and